96.9 FM and now at 102.7 FM. This is WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
We all lead busy lives, so why not simplify your life by combining your financial services with your insurance needs? At Encompass Insurance Services, we offer a full line of competitive insurance products tailored just for you. Hi, I'm Missy Harrington Hill with Encompass Insurance Services, and we partner with the highest rated companies in the nation, ensuring you get the best coverage at the best rates. For insurance that's truly encompassing, choose Encompass Insurance Services. Call me at 765-675-1337 or visit us at EncompassCU.org and select the insurance tab.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Rev up your summer adventures with TC Trailers. TC Trailers is excited to announce they're now offering electric golf carts, perfect for exploring with off-road or street tires, aluminum wheels, turn signals, brake lights, and even a horn. And their flip-over seat is perfect for hauling. TC Trailers makes it easy with financing options available. Get to TC Trailers at the junction of State Roads 28 and 29. Or visit tc-trailers.com. TC Trailers, your destination for quality trailers and now electric golf cart.
Are your brakes squeaking or grinding? Is it time for an alignment? Before you hit the road, hit up Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big O Tires on State Road 39 can help you get back on the road in no time. With dependable service, honest advice, and fast turnaround times, Big O Tires in Lebanon is the team you trust. Stop in and talk to owner Alan or manager Lauren, or call 765-388-4715. Visit them on Facebook at Big O Tires in Lebanon to stay up to date on exclusive offers. When your car needs care, trust the name drivers rely on, Big O Tires.
Did you know there are benefits to window tinting other than that cool and sleek look? Keeping your vehicle's interior protected is one of those benefits. Marchand's Window Tinting does top quality window tint installation that comes with a lifetime warranty. Located on State Road 39 in Antioch, Marchand's Window Tinting is professional and locally owned with years of expertise.
This is Alan Marchand at Marchand's Window Tinting, and we stick it where the sun shines.
At Avery Home, we know your home is more than just a place. It's where your family gathers, rests, and makes memories. Since 2015, Avery Home has been serving families like yours with Serta mattresses, dependable GE and Speed Queen appliances, and Jackson and Ashley furniture for every room. With delivery, financing, and hours that work for your schedule, Avery Home is your one-stop shop. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 6 and Saturdays from 10 to 4. Visit Avery Home at 54 East Washington Street in downtown Frankfort or shop online at averyhomestore.com. Avery Home, here to serve you and your family.
The Avery Home ribbon cutting is this morning, by the way. So just in case you wanted to know that, I did want to share that with you. 10:30. And so you can check out Avery Home. And by the way, Party Line is presented by our friends at Clinton Carroll, BooneCountyDailyNews.com. Big deals, Avery Home Furniture, Mattress, and Appliances, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Ivy Tech Community College, Marchand's Window Tinting, Encompass Credit Union, and TC Trailers. The online telecast you could be watching right now at HoosierLandTV.com. That's brought to you by Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Simplify Family Dental, the Community Foundation, Stone Alley Hardware, and Industrial Supply. Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Newell Gas, Welty Exteriors, Arborwood by Shoops, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Shoops Country Foods, The Farmers Bank, and 51 West Event Center. We do have a guest on the line with us this morning. We're pleased to welcome Gary Vierk, president of the Linden Depot Museum. Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
Good morning. Just fine.
That's good. Boy, you guys have a big weekend planned, but before we get to what you have coming up this weekend, it's Melissa and Cindy in with you, by the way. Tell us a little bit of history about the Linden Depot Museum and kind of how you got started with them.
Well, first of all, the Linden Depot Museum, or the Linden Depot, is on the National Historic Register. It's 106 16 years old. And I am the president of the museum. I have been for 15 years. I grew up in the North End in Lafayette. If you're a North Ender there, you were part of the railroad community. My grandfather was an engineer for 54 years on the Monon, and my uncle was an engineer on the Monon for 45 years.
That's cool. My grandpa was part of the Monon too. He was I don't know, he had to wear a suit and tie, so I'm not quite sure where he was at Lafayette, but yeah, he was part of that as well.
Okay. Yes, again, I said the depot's on the National Historic Register. It's a fabulous building. It's totally intact and has not been moved or altered in any way. So we have, this year, the museum is presenting its fifth annual Midwest Railroad Fair. Now, why the railroad fair? Okay. In 1948 and 49, the last major railroad fairs were in Chicago. And we've kind of resurrected that idea.
Well, sounds like a lot of fun, and it's coming up this weekend. So tell folks what they can look forward to.
Okay. Again, it will be Saturday, August 9th from 10 to 4. Okay. Like I say, we're giving it a circus theme. Indiana was at one time the biggest circus state in the United States. It was the winter quarters for some of the largest circuses in the world, including Barnum & Bailey, Ringling Brothers, and the Hagenbeck Wallace Circus. So that's why we're giving it that theme. So for our Saturday, August 9th fair, we will have the circus theme. We will have a sword swallower there. He's nationally acclaimed. He says he can put down three swords on a good day, whatever that means.
Wow.
Now,
is that a good day or a bad day? I'm not sure how to look at that.
I don't know what that means when he's having a bad day.
We hope not to find out, right?
Right. Also, we will have a 10-piece from Peru. Now, Peru, Indiana. And we will have a magician and a clown circus and a balloon artist. We will have a small narrow gauge model railroad. So we've really got a lot going on.
Well, it sounds like that you have a lot going on, and that you're putting together a really great day. But I'm wondering about the train rides. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. We have a replica of an 1837 steam engine on our grounds there. And we have two coaches, and I believe that our engine is the best in the United States. We run it on hydraulic, runs about 25 feet a minute, and it gives everybody a chance to experience what it was like in 1837 to ride on a train. Now, let's get through the cost. Okay, adults, $6. Children 12 and under, are $1. That's to get into the admission for the fair. Now, if you want to ride the train, it's only $10 for adults and children. There are six passengers on each coach. That's $60. But if you want to rent the whole, want to take the whole coach, it's only $50.
So how far does the train go?
Not too far, about 300 feet. It goes up and back very slowly. Takes about 45 minutes. We'll have a conductor on each train and an engineer and a fireman. So it's really quite a trip. And I should say, we only have 48 seats on a train, and for that whole trip, four trips. So if you're interested, you need to call me after this show's over, because we only got 24 left.
Gary Vierkes, president of the Linden Depot Museum. He's our guest on Party Line today.
Well, and that gives everybody the educational experience by having a conductor and a fireman and the engineer, everybody there to explain and talk about how everything, how all of these worked back in the day. It's really an educational experience for the whole family.
Oh, yeah, yes. Now, in addition to the museum, we have a model railroad attraction. I'd say it's one of the best in the country, and it's really nice. So you get all this with the admission. Now, again, my number is 765-427-3630. Again, 765-427-3630. I have the tickets in my possession, and I'd really like to see all your listeners jump on this and fill this train up. I mean, you're only 30 minutes from the museum. You can't even go to McDonald's for $6.
Well, no, you can't. You're absolutely right. That's exactly right. Well, tell us a little bit more about the train itself. And you said it's hydraulic. Is that what you said?
Right. This train took me 4.5 years to build. And I'm not bragging. I'm complaining. Nobody should jump a steam engine. Nobody should build a steam engine. But I did it. And when I got about a fourth of the way through it, I said, oh, what have I got myself into? But I was committed then, so I had to keep going. But I studied about 50 books, and it took me 4.5 years, and it's on the exact size. To give you an idea, there are only 50 replicas, 50 trains in the United States that are pre-1850. And of those 50, only 5 are original. So they just didn't survive. So ours is really right on the money for size. And it everything works on it, except it's not under steam.
Yeah, I mean, How did you? I'm fascinated.
I'm
now.
Fascinated that it took you 4 years to build this train.
How did you could take a steam engine and convert it over to hydraulic?
Well, I mean, we put a hydraulic motor underneath it. It's chain drive. Steam to operate steam. It's a wholly different completely different ball game. You've got to know your business with steam. It's got to be certified and very, very costly. So for that reason, we did it with hydraulic. But it runs real well. We've got a $350 battery under there, and I don't think we're going to have any problems. I'm not going to say we won't have, but Amtrak has problems too. But anyway, we're going to give it our best shot, and we're going to run on time. Amtrak. Believe me, they run right on the minute. I run right all over the country on Amtrak. They leave right on the minute, but they don't arrive right on the minute. Now, in Japan, the average delay time for Japan is 45 seconds. And I would imagine the average delay time in Indiana, in the United States with Amtrak, is probably 2 or 3 hours. They haven't got ice yet.
Well, talk about the museum and what people can expect when they walk into the museum and what they see. And then I know there's also like a little museum store, too.
Right. Like I said, the original, we're a 501c, and we don't operate with grants. We make our money. We run it as a business. Our in the door, our visitors, we get our money that way. And through donations. Christmas time, we have an open house. We have about 2,000 people come through there. But it's just all original. I mean, we have a lot of artifacts. We have a display from the Chicago Union Station. And they restored it in 2017. Took out the stairs. And they put them down in the basement. They put everything down in the basement. I knew those stairs were down there. Anyway, I was relentless in getting them out. And I got a set of stairs. We have them there. Okay. Another thing we have there, we have a marble stone from the railroad in 1934. That was when railroad just began in the United States in the Baltimore area. We managed to get one of those. The same, it came from the same mine that the Washington Monument was a mine from. The next big exhibit we have is an exhibit from Grand Central Terminal. About 4 years ago, the terminal came out. Steamer, president of MTA, Metropolitan Transit Authority. I mean, they have 70,000 employees. They own Grand Central. Grand Central is the largest station in the world, the most beautiful station in the world. This a million people in one day. And I called him a couple years ago, and he said, you come out here, and I'll have some things for you from Grand Central. Well, my daughter and I drove out there. We pulled into the parking area, to the loading dock where nobody goes. Four people were there. They met us, and they loaded up our stuff, some really nice things. I had a three-hour tour of the station. It's overwhelming, unbelievable. There are 30 restaurants in that complex there. That's beautiful. So we brought back these artifacts, these items from the station, and we have a fantastic exhibit now. So that gives you some ideas of some of the things are in.
That's really cool.
That is cool. That you were able to acquire items from some of the largest train hubs in the country. I think a lot of people, too, don't realize the history of railroad in Indiana. We here, especially in north central Indiana, have probably the largest, other than Chicago and Gary and that area, we have some of the largest turnarounds here in north central Indiana still in the country, correct?
Oh, yes. Indiana had many, many railroads back in the day because they came out from New York City and they made their way across to Indiana when they headed west. I mean, before the steam engine, travel was only dictated by the speed of the horse. Okay, and when the railroads come into being, they changed the whole culture of the world. Back before railroads, people they lived in these farms, and they only throughout their whole lifetime they only ventured about 50 mile radius from their homes, and it's just fabulous. Back in the day when the railroads were first, but before railroads, they had these towns like Philadelphia and Boston and Baltimore and New York, Charlotte, West Virginia. Okay, these towns existed on their own. Okay, they were completely set. One town was completely separate from the other. They had a different culture and a different language, and they did not associate with each other. They didn't have any reason. They couldn't even get to each other, for one thing. But as they expanded, they needed a way to sell their goods, and railroads just happened to come in. So the railroads kind of saved the day. They were able to export their goods, and then they began to associate with these other towns. So anyway, back in old England, they were way ahead of us with the railroad. And they went from one town to another. Over here, we went from town out to nowhere. Then they built a town. And they went from that town to nowhere. That's kind of how they expanded across the United States.
Yeah, just from town to town. Gary Vierk, president of the Linden Depot Museum, is our guest on Party Line today. And it's interesting because here in Frankfort, you know, they tried to get the roundhouse kind of rehabilitated, but it's looking like it's going to be cost prohibitive now to do that. But it's kind of sad to see some of those things go away.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it is sad that they were not able to restore that. But it was such a mammoth structure there that it was never meant to happen, really. I mean, I've been in here in its final days, and I did get some bricks out of it and a few odds and ends, but not very much. I mean, we have it on display at the museum, but it's too bad. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Well, talk about the hours that the museum is open. I know this is a special weekend you're having because, of course, it's the Midwest Rail Fair, but talk about your hours on a normal weekend.
Okay, we are open April through October, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, from noon to 5. Now, our Christmas open house is from Thanksgiving weekend to New Year's weekend. Every weekend there, and we're all lit up. We have about 10 Christmas trees in our complex, and a real special exhibit every year. We have every year we have a different ornament for we use for the train open house, the railroad open house, and just it's really nice. And so we have about 2,000 people come through every year, so every Christmas. So that's what it is. But as far as the museum, we have people that come in from all over the world. You wouldn't believe. People seek out train stations. I mean, I've had a retired engineer from China there, and a lot of people from Russia come, and China, all over the world. And it's so fascinating to hear their stories. It's so fascinating to hear the stories from Indiana and from what worked there at the station. It's just, it is never ending. And really interesting. They come in the back station, they see that it has not changed, and they really want to tell us what's going on. As far as the artifacts, every weekend somebody brings in something. I mean, we are like a Goodwill, railroad Goodwill. The husband died, and the wife can't get it out of the house. Mm. He's sitting in the garage on the lid. I got to, because I got to go get him buried. that's what happened. I mean, all the time people are bringing things in.
I was going to ask you just that. Can folks donate still to the museum?
Oh yes, yes. We don't turn anything down because you never know what's coming in. I mean, we see we'll leave things right at our front door, and we don't ever know where they come. the things we have out, that we have symbols and signals out there that nobody else has in their museums. And we're one of the top museums in the state, and we are getting right up there with the rest of them in the United States, too. So it's really a neat place to come to. We have a caboose there. We have two cabooses. We have one that you can get into. It's not been altered in any way. It's completely original and well worth seeing. That's just one more thing that's on our museum.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'll be honest. I have been there. When my daughter was little, my dad took her there, and we went, and we were there, and then we've taken my grandson. It's a lot of fun. A lot of history there, and it's really cool to take what few artifacts that we have from our family and the family history, and you know, you can pull it out, and especially my granddad's lantern. That is probably my prized possession, and sorry to all my cousins because I'm the one that ended up with it. But to get that out and explain it to my grandchildren, you know, what it was and everything, it makes it so much more educational, and it brings it all to all to life, basically, to be able to come over there to the museum and show it to them that way. But I was going to ask you, since you're from a railroad family as well, how do you have a lot of the artifacts and stuff from your grandparents? And then, you know, what have you decided to do with that stuff that you have?
You know, that's the problem right there. I mean, I have things. I have a lot from my grandfather. I have a few things, but I've just donated a lot of my model railroad things to the museum. But that's a problem. But I want to tell you, it's been about 5 years ago, $35,000 worth of European model railroads, okay? Here in the United States, we run our trains on 12-volt, our HO, 12-volt, two-rail DC. Over there, they run theirs on three-rail, 12-volt DC. Now, what she gave us included 250 brand engines. Unbelievable. Now, technology in Europe on model railroads is just so far ahead of us. Just their equipment is just beautiful. And she gave us over 2,000 cars. Now, we built a special layout just to showcase this stuff. It's kind of a hidden gem. We don't take everybody back there. But it runs, and it's just fabulous. And, you know, well worth seeing. That's part of it. We take people back. We don't take everybody back there, but we take some people back there that are interested. And just fabulous. So that's just one of our many things that we have. I mean, we probably have 500 engines, HO engines, American engines, that have been donated. And we have a gentleman there now, and he is really an expert in keeping our model railroads going, our engines. He can take them apart and put them back together. I can take them apart, but I can't put them back together. That's a major problem.
That is a problem.
When you get an engine right, he's also a clock collector, so pocket watches. He takes those apart and puts them back together. So he's really very much so an expert in this. So he's helping us out. Also, we have a gentleman on our ground that takes care of our grounds now. And you'll see our museum complex grounds meticulous. I mean, just you never see it any better. And he takes care of the ground, so that's real well. So, but we are in desperate need of volunteers. Interested? Come over. I mean, we're glad to talk to you.
Well, if somebody wants to volunteer, tell them where you're located, and also you guys have a website, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's not up to date. I tell you, it's not, and. I'm trying to get one of my grandsons to do it. I've got 7 grandkids, but you know, as they find girls, you know, and then they become less interested in railroads, and it's harder to get them over there. I thought, damn, it's time to get over there. Sometimes I can't even pay them to get them over. But they do come over and help. And on this weekend, I'll probably have all 7 of them there, and they're all college graduates. One is graduating from vet school this year, so. I try to tell them that they got it all from me, but they don't understand that. I have to tell them year after year, but they still don't seem to understand.
Gary Vierk is president of the Linden Depot Museum. Gary, when you walk out into the museum and it's quiet, nobody's there yet, and you flip on the lights, what is the one thing in that museum that still to this day, after you've been there for so long, is like, that is the coolest thing ever, every time you walk by it?
Well, gee, and... I have, and I probably tripled the amount of artifacts that are in there. And gee, I tell you, we have 2,000 books in our library. I go down to the library and I sit there and I pull out books and I look at them, and I'm always trying to get ideas. And I love that. You know, it's good. The train layout at nighttime. I turn it on, I run it when nobody's there, and it's all lit up. That's kind of neat. And I can say we have these fabulous exhibits from Chicago and New York City. I'll sit in there and watch our videos on those. And it's just a neat place. And I enjoy it so much because I was a part of bringing it back. I'm the fourth president, but the first president, he's still around. I see him about every weekend. So we kind of reminisce and go over things, but it's just my goal is to make it, like I said, my top museum, top of the railroad museum, and go our way. So my goal, I keep taking care of all little things. You know, I was been told the big things will take themselves, but the little things, that's what's making. So I am actually a perfectionist, so.
Sure. All right. So coming up, it's this weekend, the Midwest Railroad Fair, August 9th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a special circus-themed celebration this year, so come out and join them. They will have all kinds of circus things. There's going to be a 10-piece circus act along with that sword swallower who promises to be very entertaining that day. Magician, face painting, balloon artist, entertainment, and so much more. There will be train rides as well, and it's all located at 520 North Main Street, right in Linden. If you would like to get a hold of Mr. Vierk, you can give him a call at 765-427-3630. There are limited train ride tickets available, though. So if you are interested in the train ride, you probably need to get a hold of him sooner rather than later, because there are just so limited tickets on that. And then, of course, they have a lot of things happening in the Christmas season, Thanksgiving to New Year, as well as when their Christmas open house takes place on the weekend. Anything else we can add today? Uh-oh, maybe we lost him. Oh.
Sorry.
Can you hear me? No, oh, we've lost you, I think, Gary. We're just getting blip, blip, blip.
Can you hear that?
Just barely. It's cutting out really bad, Gary.
Hear me now?
No, there we had you.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm very familiar with Seth Frankfurt. I go back to Bill Goodwin and Old Stoney, and my ex-wife's grandfather had the first motorcycle in Clinton County, so I know all about everything over there. And again, I want to get some people from Frankfurt, 30 miles, so it's a short distance. So again, 765-427-3630. Let's fill this train up.
Let's do it. All right, Gary, we wish you the best for the weekend, and I hope it's a great weekend for you all. Thank you so much for joining us today, listening to the history and hearing about the museum and the trains. We very much enjoyed it. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having
me. All right, you take care. Be safe out there.
Okay.
Bye-bye. It sounds like a great weekend of fun over in Linden.
It is a great weekend. I mean, I know this year I'm committed elsewhere, but we've gone over there a lot. We enjoy it. Like I said, part of it is the family history that I have with the railroad, and my brothers worked on the railroad too when they were earning money for college, and then one of my brothers actually worked for the railroad all through college and everything too.
Carl worked for the railroad. He retired from the railroad, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah, the Linden Museum, you need to check it out. It is really cool. It is original. That's another thing that I think is really fascinating by it. It's not been altered. It is all original. They just take really, really great care of it. And those places are going by the wayside. There's hardly any of them around. There was one at Michigan Town. There's only the only thing that's left there. It looks like the size of an outhouse now, what's left. The one at Burlington is same as gone. So take it.
Another part of history, unfortunately,
yeah,
that we're kind of losing.
Kirkland. There was one at Kirkland as well. So, I mean, there's just so many places that are gone now from our history and it's sad to say that those are gone. But check it out. Linden's a great place to go. You don't think anything about it being that little tiny town there and, you know, one of those places where if you blink, you miss it. But it is really cool to go and see. So
it's neat that for such a small town that they have, you know, kept it nice. And
yeah, it's really cool. This festival is really neat. It's just a great place to go for the fun of it. And then it's also a really, at Christmas, you got to go because they have got some really, really neat things at Christmas.
We have a phone call.
Okay.
All right. Good morning, caller. You're on Party Line. Oh, wait.
Oh, this is Gary again. I lost you there, and I just wanted to end this in the proper manner.
Oh, no, you're fine with us. We were just still talking about how cool it is that town has kept the Depot Museum there, and, you know, for such a small town that they've been able to keep it there.
Okay, well, I guess that's everything I need to say then. So,
yeah, no.
Again, I mean, I've been doing it for 15 years, and I haven't got it right yet when I get on the radio. So,
you did perfectly.
Fantastic.
I've told other interviews that did it recorded it to, you know, I just. Just make me famous and take out my flub. But I haven't gotten famous yet.
I do have one more question for you, though. You said that you've ridden the Amtrak, but I'm curious if you've had a chance to go to some of these other countries and ride on trains. You mentioned, you know, Japan and Russia and some of those other countries, if you've had a chance to ride anywhere else.
No, I have not, but I do ride every other weekend. I ride all over the country on Amtrak. I mean, it's the only way to go. I go for the ride, not the destination. It's just that.
I've never had a chance to do the Amtrak.
I don't ever ride on a plane again. This is hassle free. You can get there 15 minutes before the train leaves, and just fabulous. I mean, the country you don't believe. I mean, when you go out west on the Empire Builder, you can go 50 miles sometimes, but between one house and another. You don't realize how wide open spaces we have here. Like in Monticello, North Dakota, I think they have like 11 times more cattle than they do people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, see a lot of cows.
My nieces and my nephew, they all went to college out east on the East Coast, and that's how they went back and forth to school. They would come home for the holidays, and then they would ride the trains and go back out. That's how they went.
Oh, yeah. Many years ago, I mean, you would take the train from Frankfort to Lafayette or from Crawfordsville to Lafayette, even short distances. You rode the train. I mean, that's what you did.
Yeah.
I mean, you took excursion. You go from Frankfort to Lafayette, again, Crawfordsville. That was a big thing.
Well, and I think a lot of people don't realize that during the Depression here in Indiana, I mean, it may be that way everywhere else, but here during the Depression in Indiana, a lot of, like, fruits and vegetables and all that kind of stuff was transported by train to the different communities to help feed the people who could not afford to feed themselves. There was a lot of the railroad services did a lot of humanitarian work that I don't think people realize that they did that.
Oh yes. And back in the Depression, these guys who rode the train, they were called hobos. Okay, what that meant was, as a hoe boy, that meant when that little knapsack they had on the back, that was a hoe. And they would get on those trains and ride out there when the potato area, they would hoe potatoes to make money. That's why they call them hobos, hoe boys.
Yeah.
See, we've learned so much today. Now, you can still get on the Amtrak in Lafayette, correct?
Oh, yeah. So Crawfordsville, too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You can get on the ride just 3 days a week, Chicago to New York City. I get on at 7:30 in the morning. I get up to Chicago at 10 o'clock. I'm there till 5:45. I can stay in the station all day. It's that beautiful. I mean, I eat in the food court. I can get on the water taxi down to Navy Pier. You know, it's just worth it. But at the end of the trip, to ride, it just is. Grand Central, I mean, Union Station is well kept, and the security is fabulous. They don't let anything happen in there. I mean, they watch that all the time, and it's just a good place to be.
Well, I think it would be a neat way to see the country, that's for sure, especially if I didn't have to do the driving. So,
are we still on the air?
We are.
Okay. Well, I could go on and on about this museum business, you know. I mean, it's just, I have a passion for it. When they come in, you know, I greet these people. I ask them where they're from. I tell them it's $6 to get in and $10 to get out. And
I love
when
that.
They get to the door, I just come out and tell them, I said, we're $500 short of our day, and I'm glad you came in, you know. And anyway, I ask them where they're from. I connect with the people when they come in, and I tell them people to do the same thing. I ask them where they're from. I talk to them, and before they leave, we're just good friends.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you calling back this morning, because actually we did have a couple of other questions. So thank you for answering those. And have a great weekend with the Midwest Railroad Fair.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay,
again,
bye.
That's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. coming up on Saturday, August 9th. So, all right. We have done our due for the day.
Yeah.
So, thank you again to Gary Veerk, president of the Linden Depot Museum. And that's going to wrap it up for Party Line, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to WILO and Boone's Best at 102.7.